Good morning, sir.
We're almost there, but I'm correct and arrest. We can continue.
Correct, sir. We do form a quorum.
Okay. Good morning, honorable members. The MRE team and the team from the committee and all the staff present today. Today we might have a much more intense work. But hopefully we will rise to the occasion. We are looking at the annual reports, both of the department, but also of the entities, but through the department, and also being informed, honorable members, about the AG's report that we received yesterday. So that is the work that we are tasked with for the PRRR process. Without any delays, are there any apologies?
Good morning, members and our guests. I've got two apologies from the committee from Mr. Mylan and Mr. Zimbola. And we just received an apology from the minister that is attending cabinet meeting. Thank you, sir.
Okay. In the absence of any other apologies, can we then give in to the department? DG, yesterday I made a statement. I like sometimes to clarify certain things if we have no right. So if it is misunderstood, we have no right to instruct entities. Not necessarily right now, I might be wrong, but the procedure and protocol, we speak through the department. But because we are not going to be dealing with the entities, but there might be or there will be issues that might relate to the entity. And in order for the smooth running of the meeting, you might have to consult with those entities. So the best way as an advice would be, in as much as we're not dealing with them, at least if they could be, and that is subject to the department, at least they could link themselves on the committee proceedings, so that if there are issues that touches them, they can send you an answer in WhatsApp to say, if there is this matter, this is the response we could have. Because you can imagine, if you sit here, you then say, hey, we're not aware, we are going to check with the entity. It raises more questions instead of answers that what would have been done. But so the fact that they are not going to be dealt with as individual entities to make presentations, it doesn't mean the committee or, yes, in the committee, there will be no issues that relate to them. That is the only thing. But you bring them, you don't bring them, accountability remains accountability. So it was a way of just advising the department that it would be, if I was in the shoes of the department, that's what I would do. I would make it a point that they are present, even if they don't respond on their own, but I would be able to say, please give me an answer on this matter now, so that we don't get a situation where the answer will come in 2 weeks' time. So I just thought that I must clarify that part. But accountability to the committee is directly by the department, in as much as the section 227 allows us to go beyond that. But we will deal with that on another day. Okay, I assume the delegation is led by you. At this stage, I will say you are the second in command. So the floor is yours, DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning to yourself, good morning to Honorable Members, the Office of the Auditor General, the Chairpersons of our State-Owned Entities Boards, and also the DDGs, the CEOs, all Chief Directors, the support staff to both Parliament and Ministry, the media houses that are in attendance, and all the guests that are part of this meeting. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the opportunity that you have offered to us to appear before the PPC to present our annual report. Chair, during May 2019, the President, His Excellency, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, announced the reconfiguration of government. And so this culminated into the merger of the two departments, the former DMR and the former DOE, to form the new department, which is now called the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, with effect from the 1st of April 2020, but the ministry started last year. Now, I just want to highlight that a significant part of this financial year was dedicated to managing the measure and also putting in place transitional arrangements. The measure process also affected the filling of critical vacancies that as the decision was taken that we need also to be alive to the fact that there will be some staff members that will be in access opposed to the measure. And now that is a process that we have engaged upon. And we now have the results. We do have some staff members that are in access, that the necessary processes and measures are being undertaken. Now, the new DMRE will be conducting a reorganization exercise, as we have now concluded this, the amalgamation of the two departments successfully through the internal processes. You know that labor is also important to this process. We have been able to consult thoroughly as well with labor. Honorable Chair, I'm not going to dwell very much in terms of the slides that we are having. We have quite a number of slides, but we're not going to be going through each and every slide. It is important to note that our report or presentation is divided into two. The first part will be a presentation on the former DOE, as we are now concluding this chapter. And we will be assisted, or the presentation will be done by the head of strategy, monitoring and evaluation, the Chief Director, Mr. Mulauzi. Then the CEO will then make a presentation on the financials. Then she will be taking members through the slides to guide members in terms of which slides we will be addressing. Then after that, we'll get the former DMR. We will be dealing with slides 48 to 77. and Mr. Mlawuzi will soon be giving us this presentation. The other issue, Chair, that I think we need to take note of is that we have received complaints that some of the entities, they are not appearing on the ATC. I must confirm that everything was submitted on time. I did also check with our office in Cape Town, and so it has been confirmed that this information was sent through. It appears that there was a sort of a technical challenges that appeared. And so I thought that I should just bring this to the attention of the members that for both Council for Geoscience and MinTech, they we did submit their reports on time. Honorable Chair, in less than 3 minutes, let me just wrap up on this part of the work by indicating that after we have submitted our annual report of the former DOE, there were changes that were made by the AG. Now, these changes were around the pages, and so they don't have any material effect to the annual report itself. Now, we also have the outstanding audits of entities within the DMRE, in particular the former DOE. This matter was also dealt with yesterday. I know that the office of the AG, I've got no locus standi, you know, to engage extensively on this matter at the moment. But it suffices to say that there has been and will continue to engage the office of the AG on the delays. As you're aware that from the side of the department, the reports were submitted on time to the AG. So I know that we have been interacting with Lufuno from the side of the office of the AG around some of these matters. They are trying to make sure that the reports are concluded. The other issue, it is on the outstanding investigations for irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The department has commenced with the process because I know, Chair, you have been very consistent and honorable members about us not putting any consequence management in place. Now, I must highlight that the department will be commencing with a disciplinary action where it is necessary against those that are implicated. Now, an audit improvement plan is actually being developed to strengthen the governance environment to prevent repeat of such audit findings. Again, Honorable Chair. On matters of SCM challenges, we must also, including our entities, confirm that the department strengthened the SCM process, which would include a training of all end users, because that is also very important. The department would also undertake more internal audits within SCM as an early warning system to implement corrective actions timely. As I've highlighted, that consequence management would also be strictly adhered to deter any non-compliance to the processes, policies, and regulations. With your indulgency, Honorable Chair, I would like to invite Mr. Mlawuzi to take the honorable members through a detailed presentation. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Mlawuzi.
Thank you very much, DG, Honorable Chairperson and members, AG, Director General, and the protocol observed. Chairperson and members, as DG has indicated, the presentation is A and B, as you can see there for part A, that is the outline, the content of our presentation for format DOD. Next slide. And then part B, obviously, will be the former GMR, that is the presentation outline. And then for part A, if you go to the next slide, you will see there that we're going to talk about performance information financials, but then also to remind Chair and members that the work was done by those six programs, which are known to the Honorable Member and the Chairperson. Next slide. Now, Chair and Honorable Members, this is the high-level summary of the performance of the former DOE. As you can see, the slide there comprises of the names of the branch on your far left. You've got administration, energy policy, petroleum products and regulation, electrification programs and projects, nuclear and clean energy. Now, in terms of the 2019-2018 P, when you look at the bottom, you see 33, which is at the top, it says number of targets in the APP. In terms of administration, we had 8 targets in the APP, achieved 4, partially achieved 3, could not achieve 1. The budget allocation for administration was 293 million, spent 279, which is 95%. For energy policy and planning, we had 8 targets, achieved 2, partial 3, could not achieve 3. The budget was 47 million. We spent 39 million, which is 84%. Petroleum and petroleum product regulation, 3 targets, achieved 3. You can see all targets were achieved in terms of that branch. The budget was 88 million, spent 80, which is 91%. Electrification and programs and projects, we had 5 targets, achieved 4, could not achieve 1. We had 5.2 billion, spent 5 billion, which is 96%. Nuclear energy, 4 targets, planned, achieved 1, partial 2, could not achieve 1. We had 1 billion, 50,143. So we spent over 5 billion, which is 99%. Clean energy, 5 targets, achieved 5, partial 1, could not achieve 1. 429 billion, we spent 422, which is 98%. Now, the bottom column, Chair and Honorable Members, it shows you that in total, we had 33 targets. We achieved 17, which makes 52%. We partial 9, which is 27%. And then we could not achieve 7, that is 21%. And the budget spent is 7.1 billion, which is 96.4%. Next slide. Now, this one, Chairperson, is showing you the baseline performance in terms of our performance of 1920 vis-a-vis the performance of 2018. You could see there, the green bar is showing that in 2018-19, we achieved 13 targets, which was 32%. Whereas now, in 1920, we achieved 17, which is 52%. And then it shows you the other categories where we did not partial and did not achieve. As this presentation continues, Chairperson, you will see there will be the slides that will be talking to the highlights. All the achieved will show which ones are those and so on. So as you can see, these are the highlights. There we are saying 98% approved invoices were paid in 30 days. We were able to produce the annual energy balance report and publish it. The biofuel regulatory framework was gazetted. 1,080 fuel samples were collected and tested. 1,300 retail site inspections were conducted. 91.5% of license applications approved had a minimum of 50% historically disadvantaged South African ownership. 214,000 households were electrified as opposed to the target of 195. So it means we exceeded the target there. You will see there, Chair, that we were able to have 3 new substations built, 3 substations upgraded, 174 kilometers new megawatt power line constructed, and 11 megavolt power lines upgraded. report of interventions and support were produced and provided to municipalities regarding electricity. Authorizations, this is for you, dear Chair, were processed, meaning application for authorizations were processed within 8 weeks, against the target of 70%. 6.3 terawatts per hour energy savings were realized from the energy efficiency demand side management project. The annual compliance report on the third environment management plan was produced and approved. Next slide. We were able, Chairperson and honorable members, to conduct the community outreach, that is 14 Izimbizo. Here you will see, Chairperson, we are talking about the combination of both the not achieved and the partially achieved, but we are trying to show the challenges and the contributory factors. So 14 Izimbizo were conducted out of a target of 20 that was due to budget constraints. A proposal of the end state of electricity sector were delayed by the production of the overarching electricity policy. Off-take agreement on the INGA project were not negotiated due to delays in the appointment of the project developer by the DPRC. The appointment of panel of contractors for the non-grid electrifications were delayed. We will provide you the reasons when we go to the slides that speaks to this. The draft National Nuclear Regulator Amendment Bill was not submitted to Cabinet due to engagement with the stakeholders. Radioactive Management Fund Bill could not be submitted to Cabinet due to delays in stakeholder consultation against the members. The report on the installation of solar water heaters were produced. However, installation was not achieved due to under-delivery of visas to participating municipalities as well as the training of installers. Now, Chair, the next slide is talking about the areas of underperformance. As I've indicated earlier, the areas of underperformance are linked to those targets that we presented earlier, they achieved, they're not achieved and they partially achieved. Now, in 2018-19, we did not receive an unqualified audit report by the AG. So that means that for that period, it was because of the irregular expenditures, but DG has indicated that there is a response action plan in that, and that we will then for this year, the department has accepted that, which then is going to show that we have received unqualified audit this year. Municipal asset management framework rollout could not be developed. That will change because we will fill the vacant position. Remember, the mayor just told the positions that were critical to do some of the work of the department. The National Nuclear Regulator Amendment Bill to Cabinet, some work was done, but it was not completed. So we will then be publishing the National Nuclear Regulator Amendment Bill this year and conclude it. And Radioactive Waste Management Fund Bill to Cabinet was partially achieved. The work was not 100% done. It will be done and be published this year, Chair. Next slide. The TROs for the renewable energy technology roadmap, we were not able to achieve that, but this project will be implemented in line with the IRP 2019. Proceed to the next slide. On the service delivery environment, Chair, we are saying the integrated resource plan is currently the department's preeminent policy for the SA electricity sector. Installed capacity for electricity generation is as follows. 38 gigawatts from coal, 1.8 from nuclear, 2.8 from pumped storage, 1.7 from hydro, 3.8 from diesel, 3.7 from renewable renewable energy. The electricity generated is transmitted through a network of high voltage transmission lines that connect the various load centers. Eskom and municipalities further distribute the electricity to end users, including the South African Development Community Service. The IRP, as an electricity infrastructure development plan, is based on reaching a balance between the least cost electricity supply while taking into account the country's energy security and the environment. That is meant to minimize negative emissions and water usage. In total, 1,800,000 megawatts of new generation capacity is allocated as follows. We have IPPs for 1,500 megawatts. That is from the two open cycle gas turbines. We also have a total of 6.2 megawatts, which has been procured by the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producers Program, with 3,800 megawatts made of operational and available to the grid. Eskom has also commissioned 1,300 megawatts from I see my light is obscured from my side. Maybe controller, if you can move it a little bit up. Thank you. Yeah, that is made with 3.8 megawatts made operational and available to the grid. Eskom has commissioned 1.3 megawatts from Imbula Pump Storage, 1.5 from Biduki, and 800 from Kusile through code. Next slide. The current electricity shortage, Chairperson, will ease as Eskom finishes critical maintenance. Bid window number 4 of the renewable energy program has been accelerated, while the rapid decline in renewable energy prices will give new impetus to the remaining bid window 5. South Africa continues to pursue a diversified energy mix that reduces reliance on a single or a few primary energy sources. Generation capacity is designed to restore the necessary reserve margin and to be ahead of the economic growth curve at the least possible cost. The extent of decommissioning of the existing coal fleet due to end of design life will provide space for a completely different energy mix relative to the current mix. In the period prior to 2030, the IRP provides for largely incremental capacity to complement the existing fixed capacity. The restructuring of the electricity sector as a whole is also underway with a 230 billion allocation over 10 years. Recently, South Africa and South Sudan signed an oil exploration and production sharing agreement, which is strategic for South Africa as an energy consumer. South Sudan currently produces 160,000 barrels of oil per day. The agreement contains Block B2, which will be operated by South Africa's state-owned strategic fuel fund and the Ministry of Petroleum and Nilepet. Next slide. Under this agreement, which includes a six-year exploration period, SSF, alongside Nilepet, will launch a comprehensive zero-gravity survey exploration campaign, seismic acquisition, and drill wells with great prospectivity. SSF will also invest in capacity building initiatives, training of Sudanese citizens, social and community development projects, and ensuring local content and empowerment of women. Concerning the recent oil and gas discovery of our shores, as the Honorable President noted in his State of the Nation address, this could well be a game changer for our country and will have significant consequences for our country's energy security and the development of this industry. We congratulate Total and its various partners and wish them well in their endeavors. Government will continue to develop legislation for the sector so that it is properly regulated for the interest of all concerned. In light of the need for transition to cleaner energy, SADC Energy Ministers approved in 2018 the development of the SADC Regional Gas Master Plan, covering evaluation of the available gas resources and existing markets, gas utilization strategy, supply and demand analysis, infrastructure development plan, identification linkages of value chain, as well as institutional regulatory and fiscal framework. Just a moment, Chair, there's something that is popping up on my screen. Organizational environment. Here, Chair, I'm not going to present, because DG in his opening remarks has indicated that the impact of measure, that slide is talking about the bursaries as well, which we provided there, learnership, internship, and so on. And then the next slide, which is number 21, I think up to 39, as you can see, it talks about the verification as well as support of the achieved, not achieved, and so on. Chairperson, DG, honorable members, I think as far as DOE performance information is concerned, this is it up to now, and the CFO will then proceed and make presentation on the financial statement. Thank you, Chair, honorable members, DG.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, DG, DDG, colleagues. Good morning. I'll present the annual financial statement for the year ended 31 March 2020. Chairperson and Honourable Members, further to what DG mentioned in his opening remarks on the annual report, the version that was tabled on the 30th of October 2020, there were also two note numbers that were also updated, but it has no effect on the annual report. I thought I should mention that. Chair and members, for the year under review, the final appropriation for the department was 7.1 billion. We spent 6.9 billion. The underspend was 256.3 million, which equates to about 3.6 that was unspent. And if you compare it to the 73.2 million that was unspent in the 2018-19 financial year. In terms of the variances, administration had an underspend of 14.2 million, and I'll provide some reasons as well. Energy policy and planning had 7.6 million that was unspent. Petroleum and petroleum product regulation also had 7.6 million that underspent. And electrification and energy program and project management at 210 million that was underspent. Nuclear at 10.2 million and clean energy at 6.0. I'm going to move to the next slide, controller, please. Chairperson, on this slide, it shows you the same understanding. We had 7.1 billion as a budget, as a final appropriated budget. The actual expenditure was 6.9, that's in column 2. The variances this time is by economic classification. So under compensation of employees for the entire DMR for DOE was underspent by 19 million. And the main reason for the underspend under compensation was due to the vacant positions due to the merger with DMR. Under goods and services, we had 284 million as a budget, we spent 258 million. We did not spend 26 finalization of planned charges would include the LPG audit and petroleum and liquid fuels industry charges, the triple B monitoring charges, and that chairperson is called under petroleum and petroleum regulation branch. The next understanding is under non-grid and valuation, the electrification master plan project, which was understood by close under 210 million. Amongst it was some goods and services as well. Nuclear, the project that contributed to their understand was the delays in stress testing the next turnaround strategy and under the installation and the feasibility studies that was delayed, which contributed to the understand. And in administration, there was a combination of compensation of employees that was understand, plus there was some understanding in operating expenditure due to the dispute with DPW on the lease of the head office for DOE. I'll move just to the transfer payments here. We had 6.5 billion to spend in the financial year. The department transferred 6.3 billion. There was an understand, one under transfer of 208 million. And that 6 million belongs to the non-grid project, which was delayed due to some delays in the procurement process. And we had an understand membership fee due to paperwork from international organizations being received, being slightly delayed. I will move to the next slide here. Controller. I've discussed this, which can move to the next slide, please. Next slide. Here, the slide that I've just passed is with the explanations for the understand, which I have covered. This is a summary of the audit outcome. In the 2017-18 financial year, we had a qualified audit opinion. It was due to the dispute of the Auditor General on the IT system that was procured for the nuclear renewal program through the section 16A6.6, or which was in dispute with the 17-18 financial year and the 18-19 financial year. So due to that dispute, the department did not accept the irregular. We were qualified on that basis. In 19-20 financial year, we had a slight improvement because we had accepted the irregular expenditure. And now that the department has accepted the irregular expenditure, as DG mentioned in his opening remarks, due processes, as defined by the framework from National Treasury, will be followed to condone or will be investigated. If I can move to the next slide, please. Chairperson, these were the, there were material misstatements which were subsequently corrected, and I'll just go through them. So they were missing solar water heating units, and this is disclosed under contingent assets. Chairperson and members, there was a service provider that the department had procured goods, the solar water heater units from Cape Town. And when the department wanted to have these goods transported out of storage, certain components were found to be missing. The department is currently litigating on the matter, and the department is of a view they want to recover the full unit that's ready to be installed is what the department has paid for. So the litigation is meant to make sure that we recover our full value that we have paid for. And that was 36 million chairperson. Nuclear renewable program, that was accrual for the prior period. Here, this was a late accrual coming from the previous financial year for the nuclear renewable program, and specifically again for their IT system that was procured, we incurred another 8.5 million from that program. The next one is irregular expenditure. The statement not disclosed, that we refer to as the prior period error, which wasn't disclosed in the prior year. We did try to oppose the AG on this matter. We thought it was to appoint double jeopardy because we have been, we did take a qualification for the previous two financial years and we had accepted the irregular in this financial year. So we disclosed it in this financial year. But due to the limitations of the reporting template, we had to restate our prior year figures. So that's the reason for that irregular, not disclosed as a prior year error. The next finding was on operating leases. Please go back, controller. Operating lease payments, payables that were understated. This was 7 million chairperson, and it relates to the dispute with DPW on the lease for Matimba House, that's our head office. The AG filed the payables that the department has raised was understated, and work is underway in this area to engage DPW to regularize the process. Department incurred irregular expenditure of 8.5. It's two findings on the same matter. And the last one is the department incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 90.1 million. Here, this is the storage that was incurred in the 1920 financial year. But this is the storage of solar water. Can you move to the next slide, please? Chairperson and members, this is just a note that I distracted from the financial statements because it was a material amount and I thought it needed some explanation. The irregular expenditure sits at 272.5 million as of 31 March 2020. We opened with 264 million, which is in the main for the nuclear renewable program. In this current financial year, we added another 8.5 million. Bringing us to a total of 272.5 million. Of this 272.5 million, 271 million relates to the nuclear renewable projects, 171 million for the IT system. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which is shown down at 289.4 million. We bring forward an opening balance of 199.2 million, which is all the storage cost for the solar water unit. In this financial year, we had also incurred 90.1 million, bringing us to a total of 289.4 million, all within clean energy for the solar water heater unit. So it has increased by 90.1 million. Here under the summary of the outcome for expenditure management. Expenditure payment periods have increased from with the AG, the methodology that they used, we were not in full agreement with. But however, the process is, we have to assess it. But the amount of 30-day accruals of 13.5 million, that mostly is due to the solar water heater unit for the warranty cost and the feasibility study. These payments were delayed. And the lockdown during the COVID-19, when we had the national shutdown, it also contributed to some of the delays in the payments. But Chair, stopped our long outstanding payments, and we are still back on track. But we have implemented further controls to ensure that we don't fall back. Under the summary of the revenue management, the debtor collection period has also decreased. We've moved from 431 days to now 511 days. This is as the collection period has gone down. But here, a lot of this collection efforts that have been implemented in the 2019-20 year. We still exceeding some challenges. We've implemented various initiatives to assist the process. And we try to analyze each outstanding guest, which had a period of more than a year, and we've raised an impairment provision against that debtor. Some of the initiatives that have been implemented and which will be strengthened in this financial year as well is the introduction of SMS messages to licensees in the form of a reminder for payment or cancellations of a license if they don't pay timely. We've also introduced credit card machine, that's a portable credit card machine, to assist with this, receiving our payments at the various sites. The department has also used the compliance inspectors to visit the offices of wholesale in a hope to also recover our funds outstanding at that with the same visit. We've also changed the requirements for outgoing retailers. There have been conditions implemented that for new licenses to be issued, all outstanding licensees before the change of ownership happens, that all outstanding licensees are collected at that point in time. So here there has been a lot being done in to rectify the situation and to increase our collection of the petroleum licensees. And we will see a difference going forward. With that, I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm now going to be presenting the performance information for former DMR. As indicated earlier on in the opening by DG, we will skip slides that are talking to the detailed performance of programs and focus on those that are talking on highlights. Next slide. We'll pass this one. Next slide. Next slide. Thanks. In this regard, Chair, as you can see, those various headings. In terms of the performance, the industry saw a decline over the past 5 years in financial performance, impacted by a slump in commodity prices and increased cost pressures. The industry faced job losses, a fall in its exploration budget, and rising input costs. As far as production is concerned, year-on-year mining production decreased by 31% in Q4, the largest contributors being PGMs, coal, and iron ore. On the employment side, the industry suffered 3.2% job losses from 643, as you can see, in Q3 to 448 in Q4 of 2019. Year-on-year employment has decreased by 0.8% due to a decline in all commodities. On the earnings side, despite employment, total earnings increased by 2% from 34.8 billion in Q3 to 35.5 billion in Q4. Year-on-year earnings also increased by 7.7% from 32.7 billion in Q4 in 2018 to 35.5 billion in Q4 of 2019. Sales, seasonal adjustment mineral sales increased by 22.9% in January 2020 compared with December 2019. Next slide. Chairperson, there we are looking at the health and safety performance of the organization. As you can see, those various categories, those bullets. The result for the year 2019 are as follows: 17% improvement on overall fatality, 2% improvement on the number of injuries, 4% reduction in occupational diseases. 99% of investigations were completed. The fatalities per commodity during the year under review were 57 and are broken down as follows: gold 24, platinum sector 8, coal sector 21, and other mines 4. Next slide. In terms of the permit granted, Chair, you can see there we are saying right and permit granted to HDSA were 176 against a target of 120. consultations and conflict management with communities. We were able to do 523 targets of 150. SLPs, as you see as we go down the presentation, 228 achieved against the target of 212. The completed SLP projects, we were able to do 99 against the target of 120. Black industrially, the target was 10, we achieved it in full. Legal compliance, 142 inspections done against the target of 100. Environmental compliance inspections, 1.3 achieved against the target of 1.2. Mine economy compliance inspections, 434 achieved against the target of 435. Next slide. On the environmental side, during the month of May 2019, the president announced the reconfiguration of the department, which was set by the DG earlier. I think that one, in a nutshell, is covered by the DG, also includes the filling of vacant positions and so on, and the way forward in terms of what we're going to do. But on the policy side and legislative changes, Chairperson, we do have a draft upstream petroleum development bill, and the draft upstream petroleum resources development bill was gazetted for public comment in December 2019, and the department has subsequently conducted public consultations with stakeholders. On the MPRDA amendment regulations, the amendment regulations were gazetted for implementation in March 2020. The amendment regulation will provide for the following: improved regulation of social and labor plans, meaningful notification and consultation requirements, procedures and requirements for downscaling and retrenchment, Section 52 of the MPRDA, procedures and requirements for surface land use, Section 53 of the Act, full alignment of the NEMA and environmental management system, as well as improved appeals regime. Community resettlement guidelines. The guidelines were gazetted for public comment in November 2019. These resettlement guidelines were intended to outline the process requirements to be complied with by an applicant or a holder of a prospecting right, mining right, or mining permit when such application or right will result in relocation or displacement and settlement of landowners, lawful occupiers, host communities, mine communities, holders of informal land rights, and holders of communal rights. Housing and living condition standards for the mining industry gazetted during December 2019. The objective of this is to ensure that the holders are provided with decent, livable, integrated human settlements, including healthcare schemes, balanced nutrition, water, and related amenities to the mine employees. Next slide. We had an outcome that was talking to decent employment through inclusive growth. The SLP project continues to be an instrument that is used to improve the quality of life of communities. The project have been identified and implemented and have been contributing towards reduction of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. 99 SLP development projects in infrastructure development, SMMEs development, education, health have been completed, which has created a number of jobs. The department continues to capture and share reliable statistical data on mining and minerals research. Coal sector and crow reports were developed to strategically guide these sectors into a sustainable future technology beneficiation. On the viability of shale gas exploration in the Karoo, Chair and Honorable Members, the department is currently engaged process of environmental authorization for the drilling of a 3.5 kilometer deep vertical stratigraphic borehole. The information collected from this borehole will be critical in determining the economic and environmental feasibility of shale gas exploration in South Africa. The department managed to rehabilitate three asbestos mines, one Steelport and Streetham in Limpopo province, and another one is Sauli in Mpumalanga province. A total of 61 mine shafts have been filled in Housing, Bobo, and KZN. Go back to the other slide. Chair, this just gives you a breakdown in terms of audited performance information per program. You can see corporate services. It gives you the various baseline years. You can see 2016, 17, 18, 19, as well as 1920. So you see 1920 cumulatively, you can see 96% for corporate services, 73 for finance, 81 for mine health and safety inspectorate, mineral regulation 76, mining policy and promotion 95. Next slide. You can pass this one. Chair, they were just giving you the highlights in terms of the corporate services. DDGs in the department, 60% women representation. Bazaaris, the directorate achieved 50 bazaaris for research in study mining and related qualifications. 20 women from Greater Taung Municipality have been enrolled for small-scale mining skills program called Women Leaders. We established a gender-based violence subcommittee aimed at ending gender-based violence in and femicide. Vacancy rate was kept at 6%, which is below the threshold of 10. The department achieved 100% compliance in terms of disclosure of financial interest for SMS members. Finalization of accident inquiries, especially Palabra Mining, as well as collaboration protocol with NBA. And Lilimine prosecution has been done. Consolidation of both Northern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal regional offices has been completed. Next slide. With regard to finance, we're going to skip this one. The CFO will talk to it later. But just to say upfront that the department obtained an unqualified audit opinion in 2019. The rest of the presentation will be done by the CFO. On the mine health and safety inspectorate, this is the detailed information. Skip it. We've already spoken about it. That one we have to talk to it to say on the tripartite health and safety initiative, the department led by DG participated at the Anglo-American Tripartite Health and Safety Initiative in November 2019. This was a two-day summit, and it gave an opportunity for stakeholders to engage on health and safety matters. We conducted a World AIDS Day commemoration that was done in December 2019 in collaboration with Mine and Safety Council hosted yes, in Cape Town. The event was well attended by over 1,000 delegates. Release of the 2019 Mine Health and Safety Stats was also done in January 2020 by the Minister. The number of facilities in the sector reported in 2019 was the lowest on record, with no disaster recorded for the first time since 2016. You will see the chair that there was a reduction of 87% on fatalities from 81 to The occupational diseases decreased by 23% from 4,483 in 2017 to 3,458 in 2019. The reduction was mainly on silicosis, pulmonary TB, and noise-induced hearing loss with 29%, 24%, and 22% respectively. No violence against women and children in the mining sector. The department led the launch of the first men's dialogue for the mining sector on no violence against women and children in November 2019 in Mpumalanga. The Prevention of Gender-Based Violence Steering Committee also established. The successful rescue of trapped 1,800 mine workers. In May, the successful rescue of 1,800 mine workers was done. The workers were trapped at the Sibanye Steel Waters Tembelani shaft in Rustenburg following a damage at shaft infrastructure in April. This is the detailed information. Skip. Now, Chair, as I indicated earlier in terms of the contribution done by the SLPs in the various provinces, you can see there is the name of the province, but we'll focus mostly in the name of the province, the description of the project. In Eastern Cape, there was a renovation of a school to the amount of 154 million. Limpopo, there was a construction of multi-purpose center, 901 million. Free State, there was a refurbishment of water reticulation, 69. Next slide. KwaZulu-Natal, a South Coast education and vegetable farming project was done to promote safety in communities and also ensure the visibility of CPF. There was also a mobile library container, a CPF container, and a pushing facility. Lastly, there was a renovation of a community center with those allocated partners. Mpumalanga, construction of Bonginjanda Primary School, phase 2, Badidi Bricks and Paving Development Project Enterprise was in the Northern Cape. There you can see there was a road construction and upgrade of main access roads and middle roads. This was in Ginhagen. And then you also have a project that is at the Maramane, that is a laundry project, including another project for upgrade of water system at Mafiki Niki. Next slide. Northern Cape, there's a borehole that has been done there, borehole land rent clinic. There's a construction towards contribution towards the construction of the Yenang's Play Clinic. It's also one of the infrastructure projects in the Northern Cape. Western Cape, there's a driver's license training project that will contribute to job readiness of unemployed youth within these local municipalities. In the Northwest, there is a project that talks to the construction of 5.1 kilometer paved roads. This is detailed presentation pass. Highlight. Regulatory certainty and investment. The publishing of the draft upstream petroleum field will open up investment in the petroleum space. The gas fine, total gas fine, has been the highlight for investment share. The company has further committed to drill more holes. In fact, this maybe has already been begun. This is a huge boost for the economy. South Africa improved as a mining destination according to 2019 survey on mining, indicating that the investment drive and regulatory framework provide confidence to the investor community. On international matters, through South Africa's interventions and negotiations at the KPS, the Central African Republic is now able to trade its diamond from certain provinces, including Zimbabwe. rehabilitation program. There we are saying 61 mine shafts were built, and that includes those that were outstanding from the previous year. Three asbestos mines were rehabilitated, but two of these were completed during the last week of May. Next slide. Governance. Skip this one. Skip again. Skip. Skip this one. Pass. Pass. Skip. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, and DG. That was the performance information for former GMR. And now the CFO will come in and make a presentation on the annual financial statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been asked to present the financial performance for the former DMR. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members, DG, DDGs, and colleagues. So the slide that you see there displays the comparison of expenditure performance between two financial years, which is 2018-19. And 1920. Members would note that for 2019-20, the amount that has been returned to National Treasury is 13.9 million, as compared to the 10 million that was returned to National Treasury in the previous financial year. And you would also note that the programs that released more money is administration, mineral regulation, mineral policy, and promotion. But I need to mention as well that the percentage that was returned to National Treasury is within the benchmark of 2%. So on the next slide, Chairperson, we see the details of the areas that release spending. Can we move to the next slide, please? Next slide, please. Okay. No, the previous one, sorry. Okay, this slide shows expenditure per economic classification. You will note that only compensation of employees and payment of capital assets released more funding under different programs. And I think the DG has already indicated the reasons for compensation of employees, which is the NMOC process that required the department to freeze filling of positions. And on the payment of capital assets, the 853 that was released there is due to the delay in installation of security system in head office. And what I need to mention as well, on transfer payments, the amount that was returned to National Treasury, it's not in relation to transfers to public entities. It is in relation to transfers to households, which is the provision that is made for payment of leave gratuities to officials who are leaving the department, and also the claims against the department by officials within the department. So those are the reasons why we returned that money to National Treasury. If you move to the next slide, this slide shows us the audit outcomes for the past three financial years. In 2017-18, we received unqualified findings. In 2018-19, we received a clean audit. And in 1920, we regressed to qualified findings again. I also need to mention that in all the public entities that are reporting to, were reporting to the former DMR department, Only SADTMR got a clean audit and all others received unqualified findings. Let me move to the next slide. So this slide highlights the areas of concern that resulted to the regression in the performance of the department. The first bullet is material misstatements to the financials. So our financials were misstated with contingent liability and provisions, lease commitments, movable assets, and also there was a material adjustment to performance information. And the department is in a process of implementing or maybe putting together the plans to rectify the situation going forward to make sure that the misstatements don't reoccur. So on the contingent liability, there are two approaches that the department is looking at, is to start the process early. This contingent liability is calculated, the work is outsourced to the service providers because we don't have competency in evaluation. So what's going to happen here, we're going to make sure that we start the process early of procuring the services of the service provider to do the evaluation for us. I think that the other alternative is to, going forward, build the capacity within the department, because we've had challenges in this area where the report was submitted late, and then according to CGS, because this work is done, it's outsourced by CGS on our behalf. So CGS indicated that there were challenges due to COVID-19 to finalize the procurement of the services. That is why the reports were not submitted in time. And then on the lease commitment, the challenge there was that when we disclosed the lease commitments of GMR, we only considered the commitments for contracts that were entered into between DMR and the landlord. We didn't include those contracts that were entered into between DPW and the landlord. And then on the movable assets, the amount that was disclosed under proceeds that were received from the sales of assets, we mistakenly put the cost of assets that were disposed of. And then on the second bullet there, we just want to highlight that the irregular expenditure that was recorded in the previous financial years has been condoned by National Treasury. And then in the 2019-20 financial year, we incurred a regular of 358,000. This is as a result of the status of the supplier that was awarded a tender changing during the process. At the beginning of the procurement process and during evaluation, the status of the supplier that was awarded the tender was compliant, but at the time when DAC approved the tender, the status had changed to non-compliant. So according to the directives from National Treasury, what we need to do is that we must assess the status throughout the process. And at the time of awarding, if we find that the status is non-compliant, what we are required to do is to go back to the services provider and ask them to either give us a proof that they have rectified the situation or they have made arrangements with SARS to rectify the situation. So in our case, we didn't have that proof at the time of the audit, but I need to mention that at the later stage, the service provider went back to SARS and they rectified the situation. And currently, as we speak, the status is compliant. And on the wasteful, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we have recorded 551,000. It was not fruitless, it was only wasteful, according to our assessment. This is in relation to travel claims that were paid from 2012 until 2019. And then I need to mention that this is as a result of an investigation that was ongoing in the department involving an official that who was transferred from Bramfontein Regional Office to come and work in head office. So according to the labor relations, when the department is investigating an official, it's either the official will have to be suspended or an alternative arrangement must be made for the official. But at the same time, the department is not supposed to disadvantage the official. So the arrangement that we had here as the department was that the official reports, the only position that you could occupy in the meantime while the investigation is ongoing was in head office. And there was therefore an arrangement for this official to come report in head office. And where the department had then paid his travel from home to head office on a daily basis. But then, as this matter is still a legal matter, that is still investigation even now, it's investigated even now, it's not yet concluded. So the official happened to take the department to court, and then the court decision was that the department must handle the case and further implement the results of the outcomes of the investigation. Then internal audit then came through and then they indicated that the decision of the department to resolve this matter was delayed, and they felt that the department could have acted earlier to implement the decision of the investigation, and this is why we have now put it as wasteful expenditure. On this slide, we are presenting the expenditure management environment of the department, and then the members would know that our environment is healthy, although there is a regression on the creditors payment hero. Like the CFO has said, for DOE sites that we didn't agree with the cancellation of the creditor payment period, but we just put what AG suggested there at the end. So according to our analysis, we have regressed from 6 to 11 days. And according to their analysis, we have regressed from 6 to 30 days, but we're still within the 30 days. And if you look at the accruals that are more than 30 days, we don't have any. And also on the payment, we paid all our invoices within 30 days. Next slide, please. On this slide, we're showing the revenue management environment. And of note on this slide is that the days that we take to collect our debtors has decreased from 809 to 430. But the department is still concerned about the increasing accrued departmental revenue and the impairment provision. Just to give the background here, the reason why our accrued departmental revenue is increasing every year is because of prospecting fees that we collect. So what happens is that the department would grant a prospecting license and then wait for the owner to come and execute. And you have those owners who come after 1 year, after 2 years, come and execute. At that time of execution, the department would then raise a debt from the time of granting, because the delay is not caused by the department, but the owners themselves. So you find that in most instances, at the time of granting, we have raised a debt and interest relating to a particular right because the execution was done at the, after a year or two. So the challenge that we've been having as well, after raising the debt, the companies that are involved would query the amount that we are claiming as debt from them. And they would require a meeting where we see them, clarify and show them the calculations. So we believe that this situation is going to be eased by the arrangement that we have following the merger. If you look at DMR, the former DMR, there were no officials who were dedicated to revenue management. And therefore, we would only cover few meetings with those owners and we would recover some of the amount, but we didn't cover most of the right owners who are clearing their revenue. So in the current arrangement, there are four officials who are responsible for revenue management, and they are dedicated to this function. They are not doing any other function. So we believe that in the current financial year and going forward, at least we'll be able to have more meetings and recover more, because in the meetings that we had previously, at the end of the meeting, you find that the mining rights owner would, I mean, the prospecting rights owner would agree to the figures and pay, or make an arrangement to pay, and they honor their payment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. That brings us to the end of our detailed presentation, Chair and Honorables. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, PG and your team. Honorable members, without any further ado, I tried my level best to give you as much space, DG, because you also had to touch base with the issues that may have relate to the entity. So I had to give you as much time, like the president in the house, where you don't have prescribed time to make your presentation. But thank you very much with that submission. Honorable members, questions and comments? I say new name, Honorable Phillips. Congratulations.
Sorry, Chair, it's actually not my name. I don't know why it came up like this. I'll try and correct.
Okay. Honorable Malinga. Hey, oh, Mama, I'm in charge today. Honorable Malinga, Honorable Phillips, Honorable Volmarans, Mayor Mashaule, Mr. Kulas. Any other take? Okay. Let me put my papers correct. Yes, Mamalinga.
Thank you, Jefferson. Good morning. Greetings to yourself, committee members. The department led by the DG, captains of the entities of from DMR3 and our table staff. Chairperson, let me welcome the presentation of the annual report by the department and the chair, commend them on one, two things, applaud the empowerment of women, in the South Africa and South Sudanese Agreement. Also applaud them on their gender-based violence subcommittee that they have established. Chairperson, I just want to start on one part that was outlined by the former CFO who has just finished presenting now in terms of the wasteful expenditure of 551,000 in terms of travel claims. Chairperson, I am not sure if I understand that their decision is in line with LRA, that when they can't suspend or do whatever, when they still investigate a person who is deemed to have done wrong and incur such an exorbitant amount in terms of wasteful expenditure, whereas for now they think that this person is in the wrong in terms of traveling expenses. So I just wanted to check that their decision as the department to have this person moving from this area to the head office, was it in line with the LRA chair? Chairperson, I am not sure, because when departments send their request to the National Treasury in terms of what they want or aspire to be their budget, and when they understand, what does that say to the department? Because I have heard the current CFO said there is an understanding. And why is that? Whereas I think when they were presenting in terms of when they were requested to cut, they cut some of the issues, especially in terms of IMF. Can't maybe moving forward cut their budget where in the programs that they are underspending and put more money in terms of programs that are giving service delivery. Especially, Chairperson, I am worried if we will underspend on policy issues, as Mr. Mlauzi, the Chief Director, said, in terms of nuclear policy, energy policy targets, where they only achieved four, Chairperson. That is really, really worrisome. Let me stop there for now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable Phillips.
Oh, Chair, I forgot one matter. Chairperson, I don't know how we will handle this issue of the competency in terms of valuation, because I heard the former CFO of DMR saying it was CGS competency, and I heard the DG saying that CGS and MinTech, they are not in the meeting, and yet they submitted. Chairperson, I don't understand which is they use a service provider, but the outcome is not to our satisfaction or their satisfaction. So I'm not sure who's going to answer on that one, Chair, because the issue of the service provider in terms of valuation is not yet concluded. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Phillips.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. The performance plan for 2018 and 2019. There are a number of projects and plans that were only partially completed. What I'd like to know is what happens to those plans? Are they then deemed completed in the next year, or does that fall away? In other words, do you carry them over, or how do we know that they were actually completed? Then I'd actually just like to point out that there's actually only a 4% increase in projects that were actually completed. Then for the energy policy and planning. That one is really, really sad because it's a very important department, yet you've only completed 2 out of 8 of your targets. When it comes to engaging with the community, I see that your plan was like 157, I think, and you did far more than that, which is wonderful. But then doesn't that indicate that your planned amount of interactions with the community was definitely not correct? The other one that I'd like to know is the 36 million rand of the missing solar water heater unit. How many units does that equate to? And then I'd also like to know what the original budget for the project of the solar water heater project was. Because it appears that we have now spent probably more in storage fees than the project was actually worth. And I'd like to know why we are now paying for a feasibility study in 2019-2020, when these geysers have actually been in storage for years. And I'd also like to know what measures were actually taken against people who put in orders for these geysers without the project actually being able to fly when it was. Then on another slide, we were told that employment had decreased in the mining sector due to a decrease in all commodities. Now, this is not true. Not if you're talking about price, because we all know that the platinum metal basket price has increased. So what I want to know is where you say a decrease in all commodities. Are you talking about a demand or are you talking about the price? And then I'd like to actually thank you and congratulate the department for the mine shafts that you are sealing and the way that it's been done, because I can see from our visit that it has been very effective. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Volmarans, thank you, Chair, and then good morning. Colleagues and the department and all that are representing the different entities. Chairperson, I also take the opportunity to welcome the presentation of the APP. I join Honorable Malinga in the progressive stance that the department has taken in as far as promotion of women empowerment and the states speak for themselves. Chairperson, I want to check on generally the picture of the two departments, because they were reporting separately. There has been some good aspects, and then there has been some regression somewhere. And all of this come with footnotes that explains some of the challenges. Now, on slide 39, on the financial overview, there's 2019-2018-19, where you had a 99.4%, and the following year it's at 96.4%, which is a bit of a regression. I would want to find out more about what is the reason for such. On your slide 40 then, there's various underspendings, but there is one of 50.3%, which is payment to capital projects. What was this for? What is the current status of such? And would it affect, or would it be the same for your 2020-2021? Is it something that you are going to carry over? Your summary of the audit outcomes. there seems to be an improvement to unqualified findings. And with the key audit findings, you have the contingent assets and the litigation of the 36 million. You also have
accrual for prior years and errors which were not disclosed. And the understatement of the leases and the amounts there. And then with the solar heater program of 90.11. From this findings, what is the current status? Because at the moment, while the litigations are there, are they going to be carrying over in as far as the litigations are concerned? And we'll find that in the next report will still be broken down by these litigations. I would like to have some comments surrounding those outcomes. There's a regression on the DMR in 2019-20. And then it's also a regression in terms of the creditor payment period. I would like them to explain that the discrepancy between themselves and the AG's assertion that it is not 11 days, it is actually 30 days. So what causes such? Because if they do the same, the AG is going to come up with they will have to accept what the AG says in order for progress. But you might find that they feel strongly about where they have done their homework. And what is the matter surrounding such a misunderstanding? Whilst I appreciate that they will fall within the 30 days, which is a good thing as far as making sure that our creditors are paid, you don't kill SMMEs business around there, which is commendable, but I would want to find out what is the discrepancy all about. And I think I would stop here for now, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you. Good morning to colleagues. Good morning to the department led by the DG Advocate Thabo Mokoena. There are just two things, Chair, that I wish to raise. One is that there is a legislative program, and I'm going to focus on the energy side. There's a legislative program which has been put in the department's performance targets probably since 2015. And when time comes to report on them, they are moved to the next financial year. And I'm raising this because on September, I think was the 13th of 2020, we received a comprehensive legislative program from the department. For instance, it said National Energy Regulator Amendment Bill would be finalized and submitted to cabinet on the final quarter of 2019-2020 and subsequently submitted to parliament on the first quarter of 2020-2021 financial year. I can name them: Gas Amendment Bill, Petroleum Product Bill, National Nuclear Regulator Amendment Bill, National Radioactive Waste Fund Bill. Are these bills going to be at a point where they are submitted to Parliament and not moved to the next financial year? Because if you look at the report, annual report from as far as 2015, they have been there as performance targets. But there seems not to be a movement on that. Can we get some clarity on where we are on those legislative programs that I just mentioned? The second point, Chair, I want to raise is on the non-grid for the households. And as far as I know, the department has planned to put, I think, 20,000 to put in 20,000 households And if I'm not mistaken, out of that 20,000 targets, they put zero. And they, we can't just leave it if I'm correct in saying zero. You can't plan for 20,000 and you put zero. There must be some explanation there that we ought to get on what happened there. I heard the CFO kept saying that there has been understanding because, and then the program will come, NAGRID and all of that. Let it be explained further so that we understand, because this is a service delivery program that our people are waiting for every day, and it never gets there. So if we don't get an explanation, we just get an explanation that we understand there because of the, it's not enough. And I just want the department to further explain so that we understand when we explain to our people, we know what we're talking about. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Kula. No, thank you very much, Chair. Greeting to you, colleagues in the Portfolio Committee, the department led by the capable DG, Advocate Mukwena. Our various entities. Chair, I think it is quite encouraging to hear at the beginning of the presentation that DG speaks to the fact that the department will ensure that they implement what we call consequence management, that it will be adhered to. Because it is the failure of us to ensure that there is consequence management that has the negative aspect, not only on our government, but on the department and various entities, and will hold the DG and the department true to that. On the summary of the annual performance, Chair, I am quite concerned around energy policy and planning, that the department has achieved only on two, partially achieved on three, and not achieved on three. And also that in this very same energy policy planning, is that there's also an underspend of 7.6 billion. I want to, 7.6 million. I want to know what is it that the department plans to do to ensure that they move with speed in terms of energy policy and planning. And I think it is, we also like to congratulate the department on their performance with regards to the program to electrify, of electrification of households, that they have been able to exceed the target that they have set of 195 1,000 that they've electrified 214,517 houses. Another issue where I feel that the department also needs to be commended is around the approval of licenses, especially that 50% of those cover the historically disadvantaged group, Shepherdson. So I think it is commendable. I had during the time we're dealing with the apology that the Honorable Mailam has submitted an apology. And I think Honorable Mailam would have been happy to hear that between the four of the renewable energy program has been accelerated. And that due to the decline in prices, it will also be able to give a new impetus to between the five. So I think it's a point that Honorable Mailam would have been very proud of a chairperson. And lastly, Chair, is that on the rights and permits granted or issued to historically disadvantaged entities, Chair, that the initial target was 120, the department was able to deliver 176. And I think they need to be commended because we have always consistently raised the issue of transformation in this committee that it needs to be attended to on a serious note. And I think the department is gradually beginning to do that. And we must commend them and say they must continue that. But thank you very much.
Did you?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just to confirm, Chair, that based on your call yesterday, as you have also pointed out that you're not instructing anyone, but in your advice, it was a wise advice that the CEOs of our entities, they must also be part of our meetings when we meet with you as the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee. Yes, indeed, Chair, we do have the CEOs. They are part of this meeting. With your indulgence, there is one question that Honorable Malinga touched on that at the end, I will request the CEO of the Council for Geoscience to respond to this question. Now, this is how we're going to deal with questions, DDGs and chief directors, and they are going to be in a particular order. Immediately after the speaker has responded to come in, I won't come in to say DDG X or Y. Just immediately will come in. We would have CFO, responding. Then after that, the former acting CFO of DMR. Then should be followed by Mr. Jacob Ndele, DDG. And then after that, it will be DDG Nwabe. After DDG Nwabe, we will then get DDG Corporate Services, Patricia Kamete, assisted by Mr. Msiza, because the matter is linked to the branch of Mr. Msiza. Then Mr. Mlauzi, as the head of strategy, will come in. And then after Mr. Mlauzi, Mr. Mabuza, the CEO of Council for Geoscience, will come in. That will be the order of, the colleagues that will be responding to the questions. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the question raised by Honorable Malinga around the budget cuts, do we look at the department at slow-moving projects? Indeed, Chairperson and members, that is done. The financial results that the department shares and National Treasury also has access to the very same results. So when they do approach the department for budget reduction, they already know some of the slow-moving programs because we also report to them on a monthly basis. And when these programs are identified for budget reduction, if they relate to service delivery, we do have a pushback at times. And we engage very thoroughly with National Treasury and the EDG involved for that particular project or program. We consult with them and we listen. And as a collective, we make a decision whether a program can be cut or not. And it goes to the EDG as well. So that's on the budget cut. Honorable Phillips raised the missing solar water unit. I have checked with the program manager as well. The actual number of the missing units, that has not been ascertained. What they do know, that it's only components that are missing from the units. So the actual unit that is not currently available for installation, they are missing parts to that unit. And that is what's being litigated on that. We need to have a full unit ready for installation. So whatever the missing parts are, the manufacturer has to ensure that we get that they replace it and give us a full unit for what we paid for. And the original budget of the solar water for the 1920 financial year was 62.8 million. And Honorable Phillips also asked some of the feasibility studies. That was just a carry through because of the delays. It didn't happen only in the 1920 financial year. It was because of the delays that some of the payments happened here and some of the delays happened in this financial year that we are being reviewed at the moment. Honorable Vonnerans raised the understanding. Member, is that Honorable Vonnerans, there was understanding in compensation with the services, but the main contributor for the variance, we had an understanding for the full financial year of 256 million. Of the 256 million, 208 million related to transfer. And a big chunk of that was not good, and which I will comment on it as well. The capital assets that was underspent by 2.2 million. Yes, Chairperson, this was underspent. And we did monitor the spending on capital assets due to the merger. And we hope that this financial year we would have identified the actual capital requirements and the spending will be done accordingly. So it was just for the prior year, it was because we had the merger that we did not want to spend unnecessarily. In terms of the summary of audit outcomes, Honourable Balmoran asked, would we be seeing this thing coming up again in the following financial year? Yes, you're going to have an update on some of these. And if the investigation or the matter has not been concluded, it will follow through in the next financial year. Example, solar water unit. The investigation is currently underway and we are litigating as well. So the outcome of that might fall into the next financial year. However, we are hoping to conclude it as soon as possible. The findings under the nuclear new build program, as I mentioned in my presentation, we've assessed the irregular, but it has to go through its due processes, one of which is the investigation. And to have it condoned by National Treasury, there has to be some action taken for a condemnation. So that process, it might spill into the next financial year. And we're hoping that, well, the irregular falls in the same nuclear program, and we're hoping to resolve the operating lease issue with DPW. That's under, and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, EG mentioned that the investigation is currently underway. Chair, there were questions raised on non-grid. I think we need to acknowledge the delays in this program. There were procurement delays in finalizing the bid. And the lockdown period did also contribute to some of the delays. And the constant closing of Matimba House due to COVID cases that was that came to the fore, that the building had to be shut down, this also impacted on the various bid committees that were in place. But Chair, as of today, I can confirm that the bid has now concluded, the contracts are being drawn up, and the allocations are being attended to by the branch. So there should be no longer a delay in the administrative part. But we have implored onto the branch that they will engage the service providers to ensure that the implementation happens speedily. And we will report on the progress, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I think I've answered all the questions.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to respond to the question by Honourable Volmarans around the creditors' payment period. So the arrangement that we have with AG, if they raise a matter and then we are not in agreement, we share with them our calculation method, and then if we don't agree, still we accept what they put forward, because if you can look at the presentation, we did put the 30 days, but we know, according to our calculations, it's 11 days. So we didn't have much time to engage on this matter because we only noticed the 30 days when they presented the final management letter. And there were a lot of issues that we were dealing with at that time, and they were rushing to finalize also their management letter and audit report. So we just accepted what they gave to us, and we think that going forward, we will make time to discuss these matters before the audit as well, so that we understand that we move from the same page. So our calculation method, if I may explain, Chairperson, we age the number of days for each and every invoice, and then we average. So that is why we came to the 11. And then the fact that there are few items or maybe invoices that were paid on the 30th day, and then most of the items ranges between 11 days and 5 days. So it confirms our calculation to say it's correct the way it is, but we'll engage AG on the next round. For this round, we accepted what they present because that's the practice that we follow during audit. Thank you.
afternoon, Chair, and morning, Chair, and morning, honorable members and DG. The question I was supposed to respond to was a question on land grade, which the CFO had adequately responded to. So I will not make any.
Unmute him, Ben, and find a good spot.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'll hear you now.
Yes, Chair. Apologies. I thought, I think I've got a network problem. First, good morning, Chairperson and honorable members, and DG and colleagues. Chairperson, I was saying that the question I was meant to respond to, it was a question on non-grid, which the CFO has touched on the basis that we had some internal administrative delays, which have now been sorted, and we expect that we should be able to deliver on the commitments that we've made to the public in terms of non-grade. Thanks.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. It's Ndobozo. I'm going to respond on the question about the bills. I think the question was raised by Honorable Mashaula. With the merger of the two departments, I've since taken over all the bills and policies of the department, and we are moving with speed to finalize those bills that are at an advanced stage. As a matter of fact, yesterday, we tabled at the economic cluster of ministers the nuclear waste fund management bill and the gas amendment bill, and both bills did receive approval for tabling in cabinet. So we'll be submitting to cabinet secretariat this Friday for circulation to cabinet members, and the two bills will serve before cabinet two Wednesdays from today, in terms of the process. So there's also an issue with the electricity regulation bill and the NERA amendment. These two, because they have to do with the regulation of electricity and pricing and all that, which is done by NERSA. I'm foreseeing that much as we have progressed quite a lot with these bills, I'm foreseeing there might be delays on these two, Electricity Regulation Act in particular, due to the conversations that are currently underway around the restructuring of ESCOM and the need to regulate the space in terms of the new structure and the discussions that were before this committee on the bill that talks to the regulation of an open market system. So these developments have a direct impact on this particular bill. So there might be delays with that one, but simply because of this reason that I have stated. The rest of the bills I have prioritized and will make sure with the team that we finalize the bill as they go through cabinet and the minister tables them before the end of this financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, the DG, and the colleagues. The matter that has been raised by the CFO about the 510,000 that actually was incurred by an employee of the department. there are two issues about this matter. This matter is currently a legal matter that is being handled by the state attorney with our legal chief director. So whilst this matter was actually investigated, that is when then the employee was then transferred for one of the our offices, which was I think the Gauteng office, and he was then transferred to the to head office, and this is where now this issue of this claim emanated from, and this is a matter that internal audit also is trying to investigate. So there are two issues around this matter. It is a legal matter that is around that is with the attorney, the state attorney, and then there's the issue of the S&T, the travel claims that were incurred whilst this person was traveling from Johannesburg and Pretoria, which is now the Braamfontein office as well as the head office. So those two matters, as I say, are both under investigation, and we are hoping we can finalize them as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members, DG. On the issue of what is it that we're going to do in terms of the partially achieved and the not achieved targets, because some of those missed targets, they've got a negative impact on the service delivery interest of the citizens of South Africa out there. Chair and honorable members, I must say that a missed target is equal to a module that has been failed by a student who is yearning to achieve a degree as an output, or matric student who wants to get that matric certificate. Yes, indeed, they have an impact in terms of performance output that government has planned to deliver to the people of South Africa. What the department is doing in terms of that is in several approaches. The first approach is that on a quarterly basis, management is subjected to performance review, because we do request managers to provide with the performance outcomes per quarter, and then we are able to go and sit as management and say, what are the initiatives, what are the interventions that are going to be put in place. As you could see, some of the initiatives, we have put them there, if you need slide 12 to 14. And then the second part is that we also present to you, and then I know you query extensively in terms of those that have not been achieved. But lastly, I must say that as we do our strat plan every year, there is an area where we talk about the situational analysis. We look into ourselves, the areas where we are weak, where we are strong, where we can optimize, and want to find the reason why did we perform well, because performance is also presented during those management structures. And the intervention list in terms of each and every branch, we do have it, and then branches are encouraged to ensure that as they review their targets, some of the targets, I know the honorable member said they are being repeated from 2015, but there's no outcome. We have taken account of that, and we will be, in fact, we are in the process of conducting strategic planning sessions to ensure that those targets, in terms of the SWAT, they must not repeat themselves to be weaker in terms of the outcomes. Therefore, we are optimistic that as we will be looking into the performance of the current, which is 2020-21, I'm sure members will see a significant change, as it has been articulated by the other DDGs before me, in terms of what is going to be ensured that is done going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I acknowledge DDG's colleagues of the DMR and CGS, as well as my chair, Dr. Humphrey Mate, who has also joined in. On the question that Honorable Malinga asked, in respect of derelict and ownerless mines and the expertise that are required in the calculation of the financial figure, the liability, contingent liability, as it were. Allow me to start as follows, that the skill, the actuarial skill, is not a skill that we use in our ordinary course of business on a daily basis. It is a skill that we have required, particularly for the permutation of this calculation of the contingent liability. So it did not make sense to us to develop that skill in-house, which skill we would only be using on one occasion a year. Honorable Chair, we have been calculating contingent liability for many, many years on behalf of the department. And we have never had a problem in this regard before, neither in terms of the method of calculation nor the accounting standards that have been used. What made this year peculiar was two matters in particular. The first matter is that the service provider who's giving us actuarial expertise requires particular information which is consolidated for him to be able to do the calculation, as it were. But the transition of the derelict and ownerless management of derelict and ownerless mines from CGS to another entity of the DMR meant that we necessarily had to depend on secondary and tertiary sources of information in order for them to consolidate their calculations. And that dependence on secondary and tertiary sources of information had presented delays that were further compounded by the national lockdown. And I don't really want to use the national lockdown as an excuse, but what makes it a real issue for account is that we cannot calculate the liability until the last day of the financial year. So all of that information is then assembled after the 31st of March. But the absence of colleagues and the difficulty of accessing colleagues outside of the stable of the CGS, internally we had our own arrangement, further delayed the possibilities of the actuarial scientists being able to do the permutation and do the calculation that they sought to do. And of course, with the report then being finalized much later, and the final iteration between ourselves, DMR, and the service provider then presented some of those challenges that have found expression that we are discussing today. It is an anomaly. It is not in the normal way that we have calculated this contingent liability for many years in the past. And I think on the basis of this anomalous situation we have faced this year, we have landed ourselves in this particular case. It certainly is not an excuse, but those were the material circumstances that we are operating within that have presented us with the challenge that we now have. But I am confident that our shareholder and ourselves as far as we can play a role in the future, can correct this matter as it has been stated by the former CFO, and I'm confident that our financials will not be negatively affected as a result of the situation. Thank you very much, Chair and DG.
Thank you very much, colleagues. I will prefer not to have a tautology by overemphasizing what has already been dealt with. It suffices just to confirm that as the team DMR, together with our entities, we are undoubtedly committed in making sure that the issues that have put us in the position that we are today, those issues are addressed in line with the audit improvement plan. And of course, we will be coming to give a feedback to the PPC. And so I'll pause there, Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and all members.
Thank you, DG, and your team. In 1 minute or so, can I get someone, if there's anyone who wants to make follow-up, just in 1 minute? I saw Honorable Malinga. Before I make my own comments, okay. That's the only one for now that I see. Yes, Honorable Malinga.
Ngibonge Chairperson, ngibonge, my apologies, Butu Babu Mabuza is not in the meeting. Ngoba nangu se yangiphendula slash. But manje Chairperson, I am confused because the former CFO says that the skill for valuation, they are going to harness with the department. And Babu Mabuza says that is a very peculiar and critical skill. So each department, will they employ that person, or are they going to continue using CGS services? Chairperson, I want to check if in the department there is an internal audit unit and legal unit. Because before AFS are submitted to the AGSA, they start to be analyzed internally. If the CFO can assist me on that part. Chairperson, I am not happy that a case from 2012 to 2019, then the response that we get, they are telling us that the state attorney is busy with the case, the 551,000 wasteful in terms of traveling claims. I'm really not happy, Chair. I don't think that response is suffices, Chair. The AG said something about senior managers. I'm not sure if I'm putting DG in a very tight corner, because Mr. Mulaudi says that performance is reviewed quarterly, but still there are performances that are not yielding any results. Are senior managers up to the task? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malinga. DG, at least by now you know me. I deal with issues as they come. First, let's appreciate. Let me say what I always say. Let's appreciate that the department, I think, I would be doing a disservice if I don't, regardless of the standards, but looking at the standards that we live generally, is not worst off. Take the point, I've always argued that it's not worst off. But there is a very high risk that I may retract the statement that I'm saying now. And I know you'll be justified when you say, unfortunately, you can't help us now or assist us. I'm just thinking, and I hope when we discuss as a committee preparing the report, we will find a way of explaining this thing. Because first, the dilemma that is brought by the AG. As you presented the report, there is almost 90% outstanding outcome audit outcomes in one of the portfolios, and to be specific, the energy portfolio, which by past experience, we have had the difficulty of them tripling their financials. But by now, though, currently, there is nothing that we have in front of us that gives us a contrary belief to what is still outstanding. Now, I'm just saying, I'm putting this thing because making an opinion on the annual report without having the total of the information would make us to give a report that is half-baked, absolutely uncooked. Because by our very nature, we should be dealing with something that we know it doesn't exist, which it has not been tabled. But now we're sitting with that dilemma of the entities and the departments having been confirmed to have made the table on time. But UG on the other side says we are equally responsible for the fact that they are not here. Now I'm just saying that if we are sitting now, we'll make a comparison. It actually means there is one component, and I know it's not only about the audit outcome, but most of the reports and on the energy components portfolio are only based on that. We must believe what you say, with the hope that they can be complemented by the outcomes of the AG at a later stage. So that is my first area of concern. But in overall, maybe let me start on this thing. We are worried, DG. In the last financial year, and I will explain these things because I find that some of the things, as we explain them, they create more problems. And I've always said in the past, we can see an audit query coming. And I think we must have that discussion again from a committee point of view as we deliberate on the report. Must we keep quiet and wait until something is identified by the AG? And I will explain again why I'm raising this here. Or should we now try and be, which is in my view, we are expected to be proactive and run the risk of being unpopular by being proactive. DG, in the report of the AG, it talks so nice about you. And I'm saying you, I'm saying about the accounting office in terms of the level. But balance also, it talks a little bit relatively so good about the political authority, which is the executive authority in this case. But it's a little bit shaky when it comes to senior management. And I said this thing that, to me, it's like a team that we must praise for playing so well when the man of the match is the goalkeeper. And if the man of the match is the goalkeeper, then it says a lot about not just the back line, but the team as a whole. Now, the reason the chief accounting officer will then be elevated in that level, it will actually mean that everything, or probably most of the things, they go and stop by that accounting officer or the executive authority. And therefore, that is why the executive authority probably is the busiest in the game. I'm just saying, read and study this thing. The reason, again, I'm saying, I'm starting this principle. There is no doubt to me, DG. And as I said, I tried to put left. There is no doubt to me, DG. Somebody had must run. Now I'm being frank and blunt with you. People should not think and sit and preside over monies of the state and decide to do as they wish. If this thing was correct of this person that you seconded to the head office, then there would be no audit query. It can't be about who says what. The truth of the matter is that if you've got prima facie evidence that there's a serious act of misconduct, you can't transfer the person and incur cost on top of that. It just can't happen. Why do you incur cost of something you suspect of misconduct? That should be the first question. In the first place, that person, if you are clear, take the person on special leave. Those are the conditions. There is nothing that says. Then if this person commits another act of misconduct at the head office, what are you going to do? I want the person, I must be upfront. We need the person or the people who said this person must be seconded to the head office. Let's get the names of those people who make a report. First, we start with the one, and he must say which section of the labor law was utilized. If you tell me in terms of section so and so, but let's look also on the act of misconduct. What type of misconduct can make a person from that time of that misconduct, alleged misconduct, has accumulated less than R1 million? Individual, one person. Let's be honest. That finding is correct. It is correct. So from where I sit as a chair, as long as I'm a chairperson, if I'm granted the powers that are required to me, I can't preside over meetings where we do irregular things and we seek to condone them. And I'm saying, BG, you must be able to tell us in the few days to come what action has been taken. The reason now I started with that opening is that quite clearly that individual may not have been a decision that was taken at the level of the accounting officer. It would have been taken at the level of senior management. And we must get them, why was that approved? If you feel you've got a case, labor law, labor relations allows that these are the procedures you follow. Please, except you can give me a very good justification. Because to me, it was a second amendment. Simple put, it was never an act of trying to take the person away. It was a second man, indirectly promotion. Second man to the head office. Why? I can't get the sense. But my worry, and I must say this thing in overall, I find it very difficult to make an opinion. You know, there is one team, I won't mention in South Africa, but I'm sure even in England. There is one team that was good to go to the PSL, come back the following season, go back to the PSL. Please, someone must help us, and I think Honorable Malinga is correct, must help us. If the senior management is subject to quarterly performance reviews, we can't enter, but with the reports that we're getting, it doesn't sound good. In fact, DG, if you read this, which should be worried, if you read the AG's report, it says a lot because most of your entities, in terms of issues of leadership and so forth, they are far better than the people. I'm not being unfair to you. Read properly the report of the AG. Now, one of the CFOs says at the time of the project or the tender and everything that was done, there was absolute compliance, and until such time the service provider towards the end then had made different demands. Please, can you explain to me? Because all what I know, if you put something here and say, from where I sit, this is the allocated amount, and therefore this project is this amount that will be needed. Where does it open up space to negotiate an extra flexibility on the amount. I can't get the sense of, maybe I did not understand English, and I apologize for not understanding English. But my biggest worry is that you get one, and congratulations to the SADPMR for doing so. Obama Mabuza yesterday was high up in the department, now they've gone down. That other time it was MinTech and others, now they've gone down. Please find a way. And I said, if it means you must work with the AG and the treasurer, do so. We can't have one entity up, the one that was below comes up and the other ones go down. It permanently means, shoot it this time around, the DMR permanently, the CGS permanently named the SADPMR. We want you to sit at that level, attract others to the position where you are. And that can only be done if you consistently work, not just as a collective, but you cut against those issues that you assume that are small issues. But I think we'll have to deliberate from where I'm sitting. I don't want to lie, you are doing relatively well, I dare say, compared to others. I've seen many, but I'm just worried about these slipperies that are taking place. So I think I will leave it from there, but we can't. Somebody at some point, including that issue that by calculation, you calculated only what is contracted by you as DMRE, whether old GOE or GMR, but those contracts that were under DPW, you never considered it. It's impossible. That's exactly what happened. We once had the case of people who paid to double for one office and others paid for a non-existent office. That also has to end. And it's not going to end if we don't become harsh to people who are not doing their work. So I need this, even if you ask me to go back and look at this thing, we are not going to finalize the report without getting. If it needs to give us even the person who wrote the letter of secondment to say, no, you are alleged to have done 1, 2, and 3. We can't, maybe what we are chasing is far less than 500,000. But we spend more than what could have been the act of misconduct. It really kills the people. I don't know whether you want to comment on those issues.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honorable Chair. Without taking too long on the issues that have been raised, Chair, starting with the follow-up from Honorable Malinga. Yes, indeed, Chair, on the issue of the skills to be announced, what we have agreed that we should do as a department is to build our own internal capacity. I'm sure Chair, members would appreciate the fact that whenever you engage with external stakeholders, then you need also to have an appreciation of what you are dealing with. And so if you don't have that capacity internally, it becomes a problem. Now, to CGS will continue working with CGS as our entity, but then the issues that as a department as well, we need also to have this internal capacity to build our own competency as well. Yes, honorable members, and also in particular, Honorable Malinga, we do have the internal audit unit. I'm sure in terms of the AG, they have commended its performance, the internal audit unit. And so I think the point that you have raised is that how did it happen that this was never picked up? We have taken note of that, honorable members. And also the Legal Services, the Chief Directorate, we do have the Directorate, I mean, the Chief Directorate in the department. We have taken note of the matter of the affected official here. And also the concern from members that from 2012 to 2019,
and this matter, there was never any appetite to have it concluded. We have taken note of also what the chair, you know, linking it with the comment from the chairperson. We will make sure that we provide you with a full report in terms of how this matter started and why do we find the department where it is today. So that report will be made available. Of course, Chair and Honourable Members, the point that you have raised, it is a very important point. I mean, it is something that we have been talking about, of someone must take a responsibility. You can't go on without us taking responsibility. If myself as a DG, I fail in executing my responsibilities in terms of my performance agreement and also in line with the regulations and policies that we have adopted, there must be consequences. And so this will be applicable to all of us. I must say, Chair, that the team, even though that there is an issue that has been raised around the performance of senior managers, we do deliberate on some of the challenges that some of our managers are confronted with, and the issue of consequence management. We don't want to use it to scare people, but it is part of what, if there is a failure for people to perform, it will be the first thing that will be asked. Even the AG likes raising it, that the reason why some of the things are happening, it is because of a lack of systems or consequence management. And so we are quite very much alive to this fact. And so from time to time, we'll be reporting, as we have reported to you about some of the you know, decisions that we have taken, and also to make sure that you know, investigations are conducted for those that are responsible must account. On the issue, Chair, on the outstanding audit, yes, I think we have taken note of your point on this matter, that we would get guidance from yourself, as we have indicated from the side of the department, without apportioning any blame to anyone. But we know that the departments or the entities did submit on time, and AG, perhaps because of COVID-19, without using it as an excuse, then I'm sure that is why we are having these delays. And so we will be guided by yourself as the committee on how to move forward. Maybe you would require us to also to come back again to take you through the presentation of those outstanding entities. Yes, I think by and large, we have taken note, as I said, that I would not want to repeat all the issues that have been raised, but it is important that when we reconvene, we should be able to give a comprehensive update based on what we have raised as members of PTC. I think, Honorable Chair, I'll pause there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. I hope I'm not closing anyone from, but I take it that, yes, PG, we are going to deliberate on some of these issues. But like I said, it is necessary that where credit is due, we must give credit where it's due. Where things are not going well, we must appreciate that things are not going well and find a way. But they have to be rectified. But at some point, it is what follows, because if we continue to deal with issues in a manner that does not have consequence, then even those that are doing well will see no reason to continue doing well. So, but as I said, we will come back when we are dealing with the report. We will come back and seek, I hope, and seek clarity. But what I was raising was from where I was sitting as the chairperson. I think there are certain things that is very difficult to allow them to continue Because if that is the case, they will be consistent. But two, when people are given responsibility of leadership, especially at senior level, there are certain things that it should be automatic to do them. That's why at times I always ask this question, that you'll have people employed, and then you are told that you have to go and look for an outside company to do human resource, when there's someone who is employed as a human resource director or officer or manager, without saying what is that is going out. I'm just making an example, not related on any matter for now. Or some bodies, you know, who are told that you need a strategic manager, or any of those things that I would see. My understanding will go out, and that is why I would still say, if there is a need, even on the case that was raised, not just for CGM, but we must know that the creation and the establishment of some of the entities is simple because they are more like a specialized business within the state. They focus on specific and specialized work, and we must have a strong justification why we would then have to go outside when we are supposed to have those skills inside. That is the main reason. It's not just about safety cost, but also it's about time turnaround that we have to take into consideration. But thank you very much, DJ. As I said, what is good for now, for what was given to us, even by the AG, is that most or all the entities so far are within the category of unqualified audit with findings. We don't have those who have got adverse, or we don't have disclaimers, or on all those, the rest of the things. At least from that level, it also gives hope that if we get committed and put more pressure, we will be able finally to achieve maybe something that has never happened, where it's not just one or two, but maybe the majority of the portfolios would be able to be within the category of unqualified audits with no findings. That is what all of us must aim for. Secondly, we should be able to tighten up or have consequences on issues that relate to SVM processes. We have to tighten that area. Thirdly, we have to improve on issues that relate to labor relations matters. We must be on top of the issue. We will make also the observation with regards to how can we assist, because for me, we'll need to have point out. I can tell in advance that these as audit queries, even before it happened. So when we must close, as soon as close, that because you are jealous, when you do well, it actually means there's less work, there's less stress, but also there is more to post about where we are. It is not just about yourself. We want all of us to do the right thing and be a good example that in the public service, still most of the things that people think that they can only be achieved outside the public service, it is possible that they can be done even within the public service. That's all that the pressure is all about. Thank you very much. Is there any matter besides the issue of the oversight, Ms. Boss and Mr. Kotze?
From my side, Chair, I just want to confirm that May Madokwe is now officially the full-time member for the EFF in the committee in ATCD yesterday. That's the only thing I have, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. You officially, we did go yesterday. Honorable Madogo, we appreciate
you come at the right time when we are dealing with issues of accountability with regards to the management and utilization of public resources. But having said so, honorable members, we
Bye, Malinga.
Zizi.